And for the first time since the Six-Day War 2 years ago, Egyptian planes attacked Israeli targets on the occupied east bank of the canal. Italian Premier-designate Mariano Rumor is expected to make a final attempt Monday to revive the center-left coalition, which fell 15 days ago following a split in the Socialist Party. The mediation team from the Organization of American States is continuing to verify a ceasefire in the dispute between the Central American republics of El Salvador and Honduras. That's the news from the Voice of America newsroom. This is Mel Johnston reporting.
And this is the Voice of America with continuing worldwide coverage of the flight of Apollo 11. Today, the lunar landing. Now on the moon some 5 hours and 15 minutes. Very soon now, we should have that opening of the hatch of the lunar module and that first step out onto the moon. Let's call in correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston to see if we have any further reports on the EVA.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. Yes, sir.
We're standing by for correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston.
Yes, Bill, the countdown clock shows 108 hours since liftoff, and we also are preparing for aligning our own monitor systems here for that television picture from the moon. If all goes according to schedule, and if that TV camera works when Neil Armstrong pulls a lanyard, dropping it out of the descent stage of the limb, right about 2 feet in front of me, should be a big picture.
We're ready to start with the electrical checkout. We're going to S-band modulate FM, over.
That's Buzz Aldrin.
Roger, Tranquility, this is Houston. We copy. Go ahead with the FM, and we missed the mark at 108. Do you want us to try and give you one at 10805, over?
Owen Garriott is now the capsule communicator.
I think we've got the timer going. We've got 1 minute and 30 seconds mark.
Roger, we copy, and you're in sync with us.
Capcom Owen Garriott communicating with Neil Armstrong on the moon. As you can see, that transmission from Eagle is very, very clear, locked on solid. No chance of it fading now. There's no movement of the antenna. When the astronauts go out on the surface, their small backpack transmitters will be feeding through the main transmission equipment in the lunar module through the unified S-band link with the Earth. And so this same S-band system up there in the limb will be taking care of both the biomedical parameters on the astronauts inside their space suits and their voice communication with us here on Earth.
Rhett, do we have any firm time yet on the beginning of the EVA?
There is no firm time yet, no. They apparently are running a few minutes behind schedule in the checkout of the equipment and all of the procedures necessary before they depressurize the cabin and begin to go outside.
Well, let's try once again to get that
interview. Apollo Control.
Yes.
This latest report that the crew is beginning the electrical checkout.
You should have an answer here.
Indicates they're about 40 minutes behind the timeline.
Dropping a little
farther
behind.
We will acquire Columbia in 6 minutes.
The particular procedures which they are checking out now show the Mission Control Center that they are about 40 minutes behind the expected timeline in their checkout procedures. Now, I don't know if that means another 40 minutes from this point or not. I guess that would indicate that.
That is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps we can listen to the interview that you recorded before the flight, talking with Neil Armstrong about that event of stepping out onto the surface of the moon.
Neil Armstrong, this mission, the accomplishment that you expect to achieve, is often compared to that of Columbus discovering one new world. You may be the first man to discover another. How do you feel about such comparisons of adventurers of the past and the historical importance of your mission, the role you will play?
Well, I'm very impressed to be compared with Columbus, and of course we recognize his discovery and have honored it in some respects by the call sign of our command module, Columbia. There are some favorable comparisons and some that won't hold true. Certainly, Columbus's venture was one that was very expensive in his time. It was one that very few countries could afford, and Spain could afford only by digging into the very depths of their treasury. It was a voyage with a good bit of risk and some complaints. However, in many ways, it was not at all like the voyage of Apollo 11. First, he wasn't sure where he was going. At least he thought he was going to China or the Indies, and ended up, of course, in a completely new world. Now, I very much hope that we won't terminate at some place that we didn't expect to, some planet that we hadn't planned to visit. I think we know a good bit about the place that we are going, and it's also necessary to notice that he did it without an entire nation's efforts behind him. Our voyage is the voyage of a nation and the voyage of humanity, while his was a voyage of a very limited few.
Thanks very much, Neil.
Correspondent Rhett Turner talking with Neil Armstrong, the command pilot, now on the surface of the moon, talking to him about that EVA, that first walk on the moon. American astronauts Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin landed on the lunar surface at 20 hours, 18 minutes, Greenwich Mean Time, on Sunday. Here is the conversation between Eagle, the lunar module, and Mission Control in Houston from the time the landing craft was just 1.5 kilometers above the lunar surface.
Altitude 4200.
Houston, you're a go for landing. Over.
I understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet.
Copy.
Alarm.
1201.
1201.
Roger. 1201 alarm. We're go. Same type. We're go.
2,000 feet. 2,000 feet. Into the ag. 47 degrees.
Roger.
47 degrees.
Eagle looking great. You're go.
Altitude 1600. 1400 feet, still looking very good.
Roger, 1202, we copy it.
35 degrees. 35 degrees. 750, coming down to 23. 700 feet, 21 down. 33 degrees. 100 feet, down to 19. 540 feet down at 30, down at 15. 400 feet down at 9. Escape forward. 1050 feet down at 4. 30, 3.5 down. 3.5 down. They're pegged on horizontal velocity. 300 feet down, 3.5, 47 forward. Hold up. On 1.5 down. 70. 8. Got the shadow out there. 50 down at 2.5, 19 forward. Altitude, velocity, light. 3.5 down, 220 feet. 13 forward. 11 forward, coming down nicely, 200 feet. 4.5 down, 5.5 down. 160 feet, 6.5 down, 5.5 down. 9 forward. Good. 120 feet. 100 feet. 3.5 down, 9 forward. 5%. 75. 75 feet. Guys looking good, down 0.5. 6 forward.
60 seconds.
Lights on. 6. Down 2.5. Forward. Forward. 40 feet down, 2.5. Picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down. Great shadow. 4 forward. 4 forward, drifting to the right a little. 1.5.
30 seconds.
Forward, just. Okay. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent.
Auto descent.
Hose control both auto, descent engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
And shortly after the spidery lunar module had set its legs down on the moon, astronaut Neil Armstrong explained how he took manual control of the craft as it approached the landing area.
Houston, that may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto targeting was taking us right into a football field sized crater with a large number of big boulders and rocks for about a 1 or 2 crater diameters around it, and it required us gun and P-66 and flying manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
Astronaut Neil Armstrong. His companion in the lunar landing craft, Edwin Aldrin, gave these initial impressions of the moon's surface.
Now, we'll get to the details of what's around here, but it looks like a collection of just about every variety of shape, angularity, granularity, but every variety of rock you could find. The color is, it varies pretty much depending on how you're looking relative to the zero phase point. There doesn't appear to be too much of a general color at all. However, it looks as though some of the rocks and boulders, of which there are quite a few in the near area, looks as though they're going to have some interesting colors to them. Over.
Apollo astronaut Edwin Aldrin. A few minutes later, mission commander Neil Armstrong described his view from the lunar module's window.
The window is a relatively level plane cratered with a fairly large number of craters of the 5 to 50 foot variety, and some ridges, small 20, 30 feet high, I would guess, and literally thousands of little 1 and 2 foot craters around the area. We see some angular blocks out several hundred feet in front of us that are probably 2 feet in size and have angular edges. There is a hill in view just about on the ground track ahead of us. Difficult to estimate, but might be a half a mile or a mile.
American astronaut Neil Armstrong, with his initial description of the lunar landscape just a few minutes after landing on the moon Sunday afternoon. That landing, now 5 minutes, or 5 hours, and 28 minutes in duration. We're standing by here at the VOA Apollo News Center, waiting for a firm announcement on the beginning of EVA, the extravehicular activity, when astronaut Neil Armstrong takes that first step out onto the surface of the moon. We'll be waiting for further reports from Mission Control, from correspondent Rhett Turner in Houston. While we're doing that, gentlemen here, why don't we discuss for a few minutes just what these two astronauts will be doing during that roughly 2 hours and 40 minutes on the surface of the moon. I'm speaking to Bill Land, to Don Beatty, and to John Hammersmith, our guest experts from NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Bill, would you begin by the first part of that EVA schedule?
Yes, Bill, the EVA, the extravehicular activity on the lunar surface, is scheduled to be 2 hours and 40 minutes in duration. The first 35 minutes of that time, the commander will be the only one on the lunar surface, that is according to the nominal timeline. And during that period of time, he will, after conducting his initial EVA, which will take him about 10 minutes to, or at least we have 10 minutes allocated for him to get out on the porch to deploy the television antenna. That'll be the first thing, or television
camera,
right?
Yes.
That'll be the first action that he takes outside of the spacecraft. And that camera then will fall into position on a bracket on the stowage area such that it's viewing the ladder, so that then we will watch him proceed down the ladder and onto the lunar surface, making his first footfall on the lunar surface. That should occur some 20 minutes after the EVA starts. Following that, he will conduct a few body movements and some small short-duration exercises to familiarize himself with the 1/6 gravity, which, by the way, we've learned already, he found no difficulty, at least inside the lunar module, in adapting to 1/6 gravity, so we expect no difficulty with these exercises. He will conduct those for just a few minutes, and then his first, or his second, I should say, real activity on the moon, on the surface, will be to collect what is called a contingency sample. This is a very small sample of lunar soil or lunar material that he will scoop up with the aid of a handle on a cup type device, and then he will place this sample in a pocket that's designed to receive it in his space suit. Now, this is so that in the event that he was unable to get any further samples, he would have that much to bring back, and that's why it's called the contingency sample.
Well, as we go through this schedule of the extravehicular activity, I'll ask correspondent Rhett Turner, who is in with us now in Houston, to come in and interrupt if we have any further reports on the beginning time for EVA.
We had a report just a couple of minutes ago. I'm sorry we weren't able to get that to you, though. It was a communications checkout. Both astronauts now have the PLSS on their back, the PLSS, the Portable Life Support System. Here is Mission Control. Let's listen to the astronauts.
Roger, it sounds like you're getting it all.
That was Columbia. Mike Collins talking to Owen Garriott. A few moments ago, we heard each astronaut with a communications check with Mission Control through Eagle from their backpacks. They're still inside the spacecraft Eagle, but they were checking out communications. 1-2-3-4-5-4-3-2-1. This is Buzz through Eagle. This is Neil through Eagle, using first names, Neil and Buzz. That's to be the method of addressing Mission Control, and Mission Control in return will call them by their first names in when they are outside on the surface.
It would seem then, if they are checking out the communications and the Portable Life Support System, that very soon they should be ready to come out.
Actually, they've begun to run a little more behind in their schedule of activities there in this checkout procedure than before. About a half hour ago, we heard they were 30 minutes behind schedule, and now we understand they are about 40 minutes behind schedule. I don't know if that means that we still have another 40 minutes to wait or not.
Well, since
I don't
we
think so.
Since we are waiting, perhaps we can continue our discussion of the activities on the lunar surface. Bill Land had discussed the first events when the spacecraft commander, Neil Armstrong, steps out. What will the lunar module pilot be doing, Don, at that time? He will be back inside the LM Eagle?
Well, Buzz will be handling the sequence camera, or the movie camera, and taking photographs of Neil out the right-hand window. These will be taken in color.
Well, John Hammersmith, we should bring you into this.
We have a 30-minute countdown display now until EVA.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. We request you open the TV circuit breaker at the present time. We've had it on about 15 minutes now with the mesa closed over.
That's Garriott talking to Armstrong and Aldrin. Neil Armstrong said, Roger.
Apparently 30 minutes from now, then, we may well have the beginning of the spacewalk.
According to the present timeline of the preparation activities, Mission Control has decided that it's safe to display this sort of countdown clock among the many procedures we have here. It is now beginning to tick. 29 minutes and 55 seconds. They just started running it. This is an approximation, and we've heard this several times from Apollo Control, from Jack Riley, the mission commentator there. So we will be giving you these figures, but re-emphasize the communication cutting out there.
Say again, Neil.
Armstrong's voice cutting out.
He's using the spacesuit communications?
That's right. Spacesuit portable life support system.
Neil, this is Houston. I can hear you trying to transmit, however your transmission is breaking up, over.
They want to be very sure that those communications systems are working well once the astronauts...
Buzz, this is Houston. Do you read, over?
Once the astronauts are on the surface.
This is Buzz. How do you read? Over.
Roger. You're coming through loud and clear, Buzz. It's a beautiful signal.
There it is.
Neil's got his antenna up now. Let's see if he comes through any better now. Okay, Houston, this is Neil. How do you read?
Neil, this is Houston. Reading you beautifully.
He didn't have his antenna. Whoops. But he's bumping that antenna around inside the spacecraft.
Antenna scratching the roof.
Antenna scratching the roof.
We copy your antenna scratching the roof. Roger.
That picked up very clearly.
Can we have a go for cabin deep breath?
They're ready to begin.
Immediately, then.
It looks like they're asking for a go for cabin deep breath.
Houston, this is Tranquility. We're standing by for a go for cabin deep breath. Over.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. You are go for cabin depressurization. Go for cabin depressurization.
Here it goes.
Roger, thank you.
AC water valve is
okay.
Verify cabin fan number one circuit breaker open.
The beginning to... The depressurization of the cabin is considered the beginning of the EVA.
And that is beginning at this moment.
Yes, you can count 2 hours and 40 minutes on the timeline from whenever we get depressurization confirmation.
Now, wait a minute.
Aldrin says, now, wait a minute.
Columbia, this is Houston. Your LEM line of sight comm acquisition with the Tranquility Base is 108 plus 29er. LOS is... 108 plus 42, over.
Third circuit relief valve auto.
In auto.
Third cabin. Third gas diverter valve to egress.
Stand by, please.
Verify master alarm.
Mike Collins speaking at the same time. You're listening to a checklist from Eagle. Suit fan number one, circuit breaker open. Aldrin calling off a list.
Do we have confirmation of depressurization?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Buzz, this is Houston. We'd like you to pull the suit fan Delta P circuit breaker on panel 16, over.
A That's Owen Garrett giving him that instruction.
Roger, I have it.
That's what the
difference, Jim.
That buzzing sound you hear in the background, that's the sound of some of the fans and some of the internal noisemakers inside the lunar module.
Yes.
I stand corrected at this point, because they would be inside their spacesuits with the helmets securely locked on. It's just the noise that the transmitters make.
Rhett Turner, we have some frequency changes coming up in just a few moments. We'll try to squeeze them in between the conversations here. We're losing for Latin America 9565, 9650, and 21650. We will pick up the frequencies 9635, 11830, and 15205 in 3 minutes from now. In the Far East, 17860 and 21695, these frequencies we are dropping. We will pick up 21680. In Southeast Asia, we're losing 15185, 17735, and 15250. We will pick up 11715, 15110, and 15210. The Voice of America's continuing coverage of the mission of Apollo 11. EVA extravehicular activity about to begin. That first step out on the moon.
If I may ask either of our two NASA engineers there with us, have you been close to an astronaut or another engineer while checking out one of these portable life support systems to know if that noise is part of the mechanism or if that's just communications noise?
John, or Bill Land,
Bill
I believe,
Land,
is about to answer that.
Do you happen to know if that's just transmission noise or if that's mechanical noise around the systems?
Rhett, I don't have first-hand experience, but I do know that the communications are not as clear inside the cabin as they will be when they do the extravehicular activity, get outside the cabin, because there is noise bouncing around in there, and also the possibility of scraping the antenna on the framework of the interior.
We're continuing to hear these transmissions anytime one of the men speaks. Let's listen. Every now and then we get another word or two. Depressurizing the cabin from 3.5 pounds per square inch.
All right, check my breather valve vertical.
That was Aldrin saying check a valve of his.
Vertical.
Is it vertical? Is the pointer vertical?
Two vertical. Okay. Hold it, I'll put in your purge valve.
Hold it, I'll put in your purge valve. They each are working on the other's back pack. It's very difficult for the man who's wearing the pack to reach all of the mechanisms on his back, so each astronaut helps the other through this procedure.
This is actually the first phase, or the first task in EVA.
Locked and double locked.
Sounded like he said locked and double locked, or docked and double locked. Lost that word there.
Leah?
We're waiting for anything else here, trying to interpret everything that they say.
I wish I'd shaved last night.
I think he said something about a shave. That was Buzz Aldrin.
That was a Buzz Aldrin comment.
Whenever you hear that little humming,
that's your
mics where you want them.
Got your mics where you want them. They're placing the microphones, coming out of this helmet which holds them, placing them so that they're right next to the mouth. And then we're hearing a lot of this voice testing. If he doesn't have his mics where he wants them, he must not have his helmet on yet. They requested go for depressurization, but they are apparently still inside the spacecraft with their helmets off, finishing up some of these adjustments to the portable life support system.
I verify first mode selected, AR. Verified.
Mission control has wiped out the display.
I don't know if you guys can read me on VHF, but you sure sound good down there.
That's Mike going overhead. Don't know if you can read me on VHF, but you sure sound good down there, came the word from Collins. He is listening to everything that's happening. They probably couldn't read him on VHF. Part of the time, this communication from Buzz and Neil is coming all the way to the Earth before getting back to Columbia, the command module, and Mike Collins through what is called S-band relay. Buzz is still reading parts of the checklist of procedures with a portable life support system. Something about a window is clear.
How's the comm now, Houston?
Buzz,
this is Houston. The comm is very good. You're coming through loud and clear, and Mike passes on the word that he's receiving you and following your progress with interest.
Very well, thank you.
Buzz Aldrin checking out his communication with Houston. They were requesting go for depressurization some 10 minutes ago. I started a stopwatch on that to assist in this countdown throughout the EVA timeline. They have obviously not started the depressurization yet. I think this could be assumed from the fact that a moment ago we heard Buzz ask Neil, do you have your mics adjusted where you want them? And he could not, of course, adjust those microphones if he had his helmet, the bubble helmet on. Most of this noisy transmission you hear is coming from the command module and Mike Collins, the transmitter on his spacecraft. Now, some of that scratchy sound is coming from the antenna on one of the portable life support systems as it scratches the roof or the interior ceiling of the lunar module. The antenna is just a thin ribbon-like sliver which stands up above the head of the astronaut. Pretty noisy. We'll take that down just a bit here, and if they say anything, bring it back in. A lot of activity going on up there. The static has a muting device on it, this signal coming from the command module. It's an electronic muting device which comes in and goes back out, and it almost seems to pulsate. But in order to have the mission control center, the capsule communicator, hear Mike Collins, should he call, his circuit is online, as they call it, or available to listen to. There was one quick word from Buzz to Neil. Once they put those helmets on, the plastic bubble helmets, they will have to communicate through their radios, through the PLSS, P-L-S-S, the portable life support system, to hear each other there, standing only a meter apart. The command module going over the front of the moon near the landing site at this moment. There, Mike Collins has spent considerable time working with the ground and trying to determine the exact spot on which the lunar module touched down, because he wants to look through his telescope and see if he can sight them. And he also would like to be able to track the exact point for radar communications and for locking on.
I see you're down.
That was Aldrin. With one more comment, he's still making an adjustment to part of that portable system. And it seems that the interference is beginning to calm now, and I assume that it was coming from the transmitter and the circuit to the command module. Good. The quieter it is, the better we can hear everything that happens. During part of this extravehicular activity, of course, Mike Collins and Columbia will go around behind the moon for some 45 minutes, out of touch with us here on Earth.
I wonder if we're triggering all the time.
Neil said, I wonder if we're triggering all the time. Buzz said,
Houston,
I don't think so.
Neil, how do you read?
Neil, this is Houston. I read you loud and clear, and I read both the comments that said, I wonder if we're triggering all the time, and I don't think so. Prior to that, it was relatively quiet. Over.
Okay, we're hearing a little bit of background noise, and I just wanted to make sure that we weren't continually keyed.
It don't sound like it.
He wondered if he was triggering his voice transmitter to Earth all the time. Because he heard background noise, he wondered if he was continually keyed. The word key in this instance refers to keying of the transmitter, actuating the transmitter so he could be heard here. I believe he does have his key down now. We can hear.
Neil, this is Houston. Would you verify your RCU vent window clear? Over.
Would you verify
That's
your
verified.
RCU
Roger.
Vent window clear? Verified, said Neil. They will address themselves by their first names, Neil, Buzz, and Houston. Houston, the first name of where we are located, obviously. Houston, this is Buzz. Houston, this is Neil. Neil Houston calling. You'll hear this sort of address back and forth.
I think
that was Buzz. I thought he said, hello, Houston. Houston didn't respond yet. The signal is very clear from the lunar module from Eagle. Portable life support systems. Each astronaut with his own little world keeping him intact, transmitting through the larger unified S-band antenna, that circular dish on the right top side of the lunar module. The PLSS, P-L-S-S, consists of three parts. Didn't quite get all of that transmission. Something for EVA. I thought that was Buzz again.
Disconnect one. Okay, let me get yours.
They sound a little different as they begin to put the helmets on. We're going to notice a difference in the voice quality of the two astronauts. The PLIS, the Portable Life Support System, a self-contained... Yeah, that's Buzz, all right. That was Buzz Aldrin. The self-contained, self-powered, rechargeable environmental control system. It's worn on the astronaut's back, three parts. Supply, the lower part carries the oxygen pressurization system and the cooling
cabin
mechanism.
Pressures on both vehicles reading 4.9 pounds per square inch. Columbia's temperature 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Eagle's temperature 61 degrees Fahrenheit.
Eagle running a little cooler inside than is Columbia. 4.9 pounds per square inch. This is that almost 5 pounds of pure oxygen environment in which all American spacecraft operate. once they're up into space on the ground since the tragic fire in January of 1967, ground tests do include a mixture of oxygen and nitrogen. This portable life support system, the largest portion of it is that life-giving and life-sustaining pressure pack with oxygen. Above it is a smaller unit called the oxygen purge system, which allows an emergency use of oxygen enough to get them back inside safely should something go wrong with the main unit while out on the surface of the moon.
Mounted Columbia, this is Houston. Any joy on the limb that fast? Over.
Asking Columbia if he sighted them.
Okay, they're all stowed. Make Pliss water hose to PGA.
That's Aldrin talking about a Pliss water hose. They apparently do have a considerable amount of checking out to do, even after requesting that go for depressurization. The transmitter is a miniaturized device, the communications transmitter and receiver, a miniaturized device which is mounted on top of the oxygen purge system in this small ribbon-like antenna protruding for about a third of a meter above the head of the astronaut. Then on the front is a remote control unit into which the astronaut can from which he can read certain flow rates for oxygen and venting and pressure. He can look down at small dials, gauges, and there is also a valve there for switching from one system to the other. And all of this on a little box about the size, half the size of a shoebox.
Buzz here, over.
This mounted on his
Go
chest.
Go ahead, Buzz. This is Houston.
Roger, our comm just seemed to clear up a good bit. Did SM just go over the hill?
Negative. He's been over the hill here for a minute or so. Correction. He should be losing contact with you in about a minute.
Owen Gary's voice is going to the moon and back.
Check. Locks are checked. Blue locks are checked. Lock locks are red locks. Purge locks.
That's Armstrong.
And on this side, the Pliss locks and lock locks, both sides. Water locks.
Neil Armstrong reading off his checklist.
And the comm.
We can assume that every time you hear that scratchy static sound that the antenna is scraping the roof of the interior of the lunar module. The small remote control unit we mentioned a moment ago is mounted on the chest out front there, right below the chin of the astronaut. He can just drop his chin and look right down at the dials and gauges which are monitoring his life-giving life support system. That scratchiness, again, would be the antennas scraping the ceiling inside the lunar module. We got confirmation of that a little earlier, the first time we heard the noise. As Bill Land pointed out, once they're outside on the surface, transmitting back through the antenna, which is designed to pick up their portable transmitter. This antenna is mounted on top of the lunar module. Oh, it reaches up into the air well over 1 meter, I believe. Transmissions should improve even more. And maybe you have noticed also there was a slight difference in the voice quality once the astronauts put on their helmets, which we assume they have done at this time. Bill McCrory, you know, I had an interesting
Columbia,
conversation.
This is Houston. Do you read? Over.
Columbia, read you loud and clear on MD, Charlie.
Call to Mike Collins.
Roger, Columbia, I have LOS and AOS times for you this pass with Mitch Sint. LOS 109er. plus 2-1, plus 1-2. AOS coming around the corner, 110-07-35, over.
That was Owen Garriott.
Roger out.
Giving some information to Mike Collins in Columbia. I wondered if this recorded conversation I had with Buzz Aldrin on what they're going to be doing on the lunar surface, if you have that up there in Washington. Bill, are you with us at the moment?
Yes, indeed. We've been standing by, really afraid to leave you.
I think there's time.
They would open that hatch.
Apparently they haven't begun to depressurize. Not yet.
But they did get the go-ahead. Apparently it takes quite a bit of time, quite a bit of preparation before we actually begin that EVA.
Yes, apparently there's a considerable amount of time before a go-ahead, before they get down to the point in that checklist which they actually depressurize.
I think we're ready to play that taped conversation you were speaking of.
It's a little easier to hear Buzz as we sat in the lunar receiving lab than it is to hear this communication.
While we are waiting for the communications to clear up, Rhett Turner recorded a few days before the flight an interview with the lunar module pilot and a discussion with him as to just what he will be doing during this EVA on the moon surface. Let's listen to that.
Buzz, would you summarize the activities which you and Neil will pursue on the surface of the moon?
One of the first things that we will be engaged in is making immediate decisions as to how long we'll be staying on the surface. There are several favored abort points that we will be checking various systems to get a stay or no stay beyond these points. The first one occurs some 4 or 5 minutes after touchdown, the next one about 10 minutes, and the final stay occurs one revolution afterward. What we will be doing during that first revolution is very intensely preparing the vehicle for a simulated countdown to launch, which we will carry up to the last 5 or 10 minutes before the ascent, one revolution later as the command module comes over. Following this period, we'll go through a power down of the systems in the lunar module, preparing it for an extended stay on the surface. We will have an eat period followed by about a 4-hour rest period. When we awake, hopefully from much needed sleep of 4 hours, we'll have another eat period and go through about a 2-hour plus EVA preparation period.
Do you think you'll really be able to sleep at that point?
I don't think we'll be able to answer that until we get there and give it a try. We'll certainly need that rest period, and we'll do everything that we can to do to gain the most benefit out of that 4-hour time period.
And then what happens?
Following the EVA preparation period, we will go through the planned 2-man excursion on the surface, with Neil exiting the spacecraft first. As he goes down the ladder, I'll be taking pictures of him with a 16-millimeter camera through the window. Television camera will also be recording his activities. Initially, he'll collect a contingency sample. As I descend onto the surface, he will then be collecting a bulk sample of a larger sample of the lunar material. While he's doing this, I'll be participating in an extended EVA evaluation, just what are the capabilities of man to perform tasks on the lunar surface. We'll then join together following the deployment of television and perhaps the deployment of the flag on the surface. We'll then perform jointly an inspection, walking around the lunar module, looking at the various systems, the landing gear, making a very thorough inspection of everything that we can observe on it. In the process of doing this, we'll be taking a series of panorama photographs at 3 different locations as we move around. When we get to the about 3/4 of the way around the LEM, we'll begin to deploy several experiments. One is a laser retro reflector, and we'll offload these two from the scientific equipment bay. The other experiment is a passive seismometer. The deployment of these experiments will take some 5 to 10 minutes, and they're to be deployed some 50 to 60 feet away from the lunar module. We return from this excursion around the lunar module. We'll then pick up the equipment for a documented sample in detail in a predetermined location some 40, 50, 60 feet away from the lunar module. Following this, we'll package up these samples, conduct a few core tube samples and other brief experiments, pick up the solar wind experiment, and then prepare these packages to be transported up into the lunar module. I'll enter into the LEM first, and then Neil will convey these two sample return containers up on this tether assembly. Once they're inside, then he'll re-enter the lunar module, and we'll pressurize, and that'll be the end of our EVA.
Thanks very much, Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin, the lunar module pilot, who is preparing at this moment with the command pilot, Neil Armstrong, to come out of that lunar module Eagle and take that walk on the moon. That may be anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes away. We do not have a firm timeline on that, but we will interrupt at any time that hatch seems to be about to open. Hal Banks?
Here is an analysis written by VOA news analyst Ronald J. Dunleavy. The Eagle has landed. These were the words spoken by the American astronaut Neil Armstrong as the spaceship which he commands landed on the surface of the moon Sunday. And while the Eagle, after which the spaceship was named, is the national symbol of America, and while the words United States are lettered on the side of the lunar module, the achievement signaled by Mr. Armstrong's words is far more than a merely national one. It is an achievement of mankind, and it is doubtful that any one of the millions of persons in many countries watching or listening to the broadcast could have failed to sense this. Certainly, too, men everywhere must have experienced an automatic reflex of satisfaction at the safe landing. The Eagle has landed. The words were spoken without boastfulness or pretension, but rather with matter-of-fact simplicity. There was not and there will not be any statements about taking possession or staking out a claim in behalf of any country or any ideology. This, in fact, is already precluded by international treaty. A simple plaque is to be left, a small American flag, messages from a variety of world leaders and remembrances of the American and Soviet astronauts who have died in the course of space programs. It will be much different from some explorations and discoveries of the past, reflecting a world that has grown closer together. But the landing of the Eagle is only the first part of the mission, and worldwide exhilaration at the successful moon landing must be tempered by the realization that there is much more to be done. There are two parts left, the exploration of a limited area of the moon's surface and the return to the command spaceship and the Earth. The first parts of the mission, landing on the moon and gathering samples of its surface, are in a sense primarily technological and scientific. But in the third phase, the emphasis will be on the human and humanitarian. When President Kennedy outlined the moon mission 8 years ago, he said that the most important phase of it would be to return the astronauts safely to Earth. And in an enterprise that is uniquely international in spirit and scope, an enterprise of man, people all over the world will be watching for the successful completion of an already historic mission. Bill McCrory?
The Voice of America's continuing live coverage of the mission of Apollo 11. We had an announcement from Apollo Mission Control just a few moments ago. I believe the clock has started to count on the EVA or is about to. So let's call in correspondent Rhett Turner in Houston.
I just heard Neil say, I want to go down to 3.5 pounds per square inch and back to auto.
Verify cabin pressure at 3.5 and LEM suit circuit pressure between 3.6 and 4.3.
depressed cabin to 3.5 and something about
it.
It
is.
A,
huh? The circuit's at about 4.3. Okay.
Back to 4.3.
Verify the PGA pressure's above 4.5, minus 4.6.
Minus 4.7.
Neil, this is Houston. Will you give us a hack when you start your chronometer? Over.
Asking for a time hack when...
Roger. Give it to him later. Okay.
When the sublimiter
okay,
is started.
Let's go to dump.
Dump. That means dump. Deep...
Go to dump.
Go to dump. This may mean that the depressurization has begun. Let's listen carefully. We're waiting to hear
Houston,
another.
I'll start my watch at 5:06. Over.
That was Buzz.
Roger.
Buzz said he was setting his watch at 5:06. I think he meant 1:08:56. Coming up in 3 seconds from now.
3, 2, 1, mark.
Houston, Columbia back on the
again. Roger, Columbia, loud and clear, and we copied your mark there, Buzz.
Water window?
They were setting their chronometers.
That's your
the mine. Watches which
okay.
They wear.
Their pressure going towards zero?
That's Neil Armstrong talking
verify
about.
Verify LAM suit circuit 36 to 43, that's verified.
LAM suit
verify
pressure.
PGA pressure above 4.5.
That's the pressure garment inside.
4.75. Coming down.
The pressure inside the limb coming down.
They're
going to open the hatch when they get to zero. We're about 1 minute into the timeline now. Not quite 1 minute. We could almost plan for 2 hours and 40 minutes from now.
One of your advisors now, or leave one.
Did take them, it did take them another 30 minutes to be ready, as we earlier anticipated. There's an awful lot to do. And they've rehearsed this so many times that they have an almost second-by-second timeline planned out. There are quite a few people in one of the side rooms here in Mission Control Center watching stopwatches also as the astronauts proceed through this timeline. They expect to be out for 2 hours and 40 minutes. They have up to about 4 hours of oxygen in that PLIS, the portable life support system. It is rechargeable, however. If they needed to stay out a longer period, they could go inside and charge up the PLIS and come back out. That's planned on future missions, future Apollo landing missions, but not on this one.